Old Testament reading is, our Gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. The link, as usual, is straight above here for the New Testament reading or second reading, or you can just follow along on the screen. Listen for the Gospel of the Lord. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied, and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he'll send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road.
Lord!
The crowds that went ahead of him followed and were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The Gospel of the Lord. Let's pray. God, we thank you for Palm Sunday, for a beautiful, bright Palm Sunday outside. We thank you for birds chirping and singing, and for palm branches, and for everything that this day has come to mean. We ask that you will help us to hear your voice anew in your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I've had a few layers of thought about Palm Sunday over the years. The first one I remember is just this excitement that Jesus rides in, and Jesus is riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, and it's just, you know, it's that beautiful childhood understanding of Palm Sunday. I guess I need to be over here. This is a lovely image that you'll see. The credits are in the bulletin. We can turn that off now. Thanks. So there's that childhood level of understanding of this, that this is just part of the story, which is a really good. It's a decent understanding. But as I got older, I started encountering other ways of thinking about Palm Sunday. One of them is this recognition that it's kind of a subversion of what people are expecting, because if you understand some of Israel's history, they've been held captive for a very long time. They've been under bondage over and over again. Their history has been one of being hauled off into one exile or another, and now they're living in Jerusalem in an occupied country. And as always, that's important to remember. They're occupied into the... So that's the past, right? But the future, too, is that Jesus is not going to act as the king they're looking for, because all the prophets are talking about this king who will ride in and who will conquer and defeat all of Israel's enemies and just win, you know? It's a sort of military, triumphant victory, right? And that's what people are expecting. So when Jesus rides in, he's sort of living up to those expectations that he's about to completely flip. In fact, speaking of palm branches, there's this story of another great leader in Israel's history named Judas Maccabeus, and at one point he rides in on a donkey and then proceeds to cleanse the temple, as Jesus does in the two verses after the scripture reading for this morning. He cleanses the temple in a slightly different way, but if you see the two stories side by side, you can really tell that it's connected. That Jesus is living into these very specific expectations, but he's subverting them. And that was my second layer. So the first one was, wow, Jesus riding in. The second one was, whoa, Jesus is subverting expectations here. He's like, he's living into what they're expecting, and then he's about to completely change everything else by, on Good Friday later this week, several thousand years ago, dying on the cross for the sins of the world. So he becomes a different kind of savior, and he doesn't live up to our expectations. What we expect on Palm Sunday versus what happens on Easter turn out to be very different. But this week, I came into a third understanding of this passage. It's that even though Jesus' reign doesn't come in the way that people hope, like a hailstorm, as some have suggested, the people might have been hoping for, Jesus' reign comes in gently. But also, Jesus rides in. This is huge. Because for people like me, for whom it's really important to be right about God, this is huge. Because the people who are throwing down their cloaks and the palm branches in front of Jesus, they're wrong about what Jesus is coming to do. They have a very specific set of messianic expectations that he's going to ride in and save the day and give Rome the boot. Jesus knows about these expectations, and he doesn't come in and tell them, oh, that's completely wrong, that's not what I'm here for, that's not what I'm going to do. Jesus actually tells his disciples to go get a colt so he can live into that misplaced expectation. That's incredible. But I don't think it's quite as incredible as why. Which, I'm not Jesus. I don't fully know his motives. But I have a suspicion. Just based on a little bit of experience, my suspicion is that Jesus is living into these expectations because he knows that these people need a win. Jesus knows that these people need a win. They have been under the boot of Rome for so long, and Jesus knows, he knows he's not going to go in and give Rome the boot out and set the people free in the way that they're hoping for or expecting for. But he gives them this. He fulfills this messianic prophecy, and he rides in on a donkey. The donkey, like the ancient kings of Israel would have ridden in triumph, not in triumph, but in peace, in times of peace, they would ride in on a donkey. Jesus gives his people this win. And there's this spark of hope, and you can see it in the crowds running ahead of him and following him and shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven! You can see the hope sparking. That's not what Jesus is going to do. That he's not going to be the kind of king that they're hoping. But right now, he is. You ever been there? You ever been, like, you ever really need just some kind of a win, and it's not really the kind of win that you really need. Like, what the people of Israel think they need is to be liberated from Rome, and they do need that, but this ultimate Jesus coming, dying on the cross for the sins of the world, that's what they really need. But in the middle of that, Jesus gives them the win that they really wanted. You know, it's not an ultimate win. It's sort of a temporal win. It's like a give us this day our daily bread kind of win. You know, I've been there where God gave me what I needed in the moment. That wasn't really what I needed, but God gave me a win. God gave me what I needed in the moment, even though it wasn't the ultimate need. Friends, isn't God good? Isn't God good? The funny thing is that I thought that because I was wrong about God back then, that my experience of God wasn't God, that, like, if I had been in the crowd, I might have thought, oh, Jesus riding in on the donkey wasn't really Jesus showing us who he really is. Jesus on the cross is. But Jesus riding in on the donkey shows us a very different side, or maybe even the same side. Jesus sacrificing to give the people the win that they needed. These oppressed people who've been trampled down. Jesus is sacrificing. Jesus sacrifices, telling them everything right now so that they will know who he really is, that he really cares for them. He cares for this need that they have right now for a win before he goes and gives them the ultimate win that they really need. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you give us both what we ultimately need and what we need in the moment, that you give us life, and that you also give us the manna, the bread that we need today, that you give us this day our daily bread. Thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.